Good morning, and thank you for coming. As mentioned, my name is Amanda Taylor, and I'm from the University of Manitoba up in Canada. Today I'll be discussing carbon fluxes over perennial and annual systems, research that I've conducted under Dr. Brian Amiro, and in collaboration with Trevor Fraser and Jenna Rapai. Just a quick overview, when we're thinking about long-term studies that have been conducted on agroecosystems in relation to carbon, generally the conversion from perennial to annual cropping systems has resulted in a shift from carbon in the soil and vegetation up into the atmosphere. And in the past 20 years, the development of more advanced technology has allowed the direct measurement of CO2 fluxes to help understand these ecosystem processes and how agricultural management is affecting the carbon flux. In particular, it allows for a measurement at a landscape scale in a direct, non-invasive method over a wide range of weather conditions and over a long period of time. My research in particular has been curious about the effect of whether annual crops will have a different net ecosystem productivity, or NEP, than a perennial forage when taking into account that this conversion from perennial to an annual system may cause a net carbon loss for several years following that conversion. Some of the objectives of my project were to determine NEP for three sites, two of which are annual crops that were previous perennial sites, and one perennial pasture that has been unchanged for over 25 years, and this is over three consecutive years. As well, it's been to analyze the seasonal dynamics of these sites and establish the relative carbon balance of the different crops on them in relation to the management practices that are applied and the climate that they experience. And finally, to assess the sensitivity of these different crops to the managements that are being applied by the farmer as a result of their economic choices. So this is where our research site is up in Canada. It's about an hour northwest of Winnipeg, Manitoba, if you know where that is. It's still colder there than here, so I'm glad to be here. If we go in a bit closer, we can see the three sites and where they are in relation to one another. Just across the road, there's three sites. So site one has undergone 3 years of annual cropping, prior to which it was perennial pasture. Site two has had 2 years of annual cropping as of this fall. And then site three has remained a perennial timothy hay dominated pasture. And you can see there's a little yellow tower. That's the location of our eddy flux towers, and are able to encompass the footprint of the field as a result. So the method that we've used to apply are the eddy covariance technique to measure CO2 flux, or NEP. It's using a closed path analyzer, a Lycor 7000, in conjunction with a 3D sonic anemometer. That gives us the carbon, the CO2 flux, and each field, as I mentioned, has a tower. And this is an actively farmed field. We don't own the field. The producer has allowed us to put the towers on there. He decides what management practices are going to be applied, what crops to plant, and the choices he makes are dependent on his lifestyle and whatever other factors may come into play. As well, our sites have meteorological and radiative data, in particular for soil temperature and PAR, or photosynthetically active radiation, which will be used for gap filling and post-data processing. So one of the first things that I'd like to show from the data that we've collected is relating to variability between site management. These are each of the three sites, and I'll be showing you some data from the summer of 2010. Site 1 had a canola crop that year. That's the rotation since it's been converted from pasture. Site 2 had an oat crop last year and was fallow this summer, but don't worry about that quite yet. And then there's Site 3, which is a perennial pasture, unaffected for more than 25 years. So this is the data from summer of 2010. It's cumulative NEP measured in grams of carbon per meter squared. And just from a quick glance at it, you can see some of the differences between the annual crops, which are blue and green, and the perennial system, which is red. I'll bring up some of the managements that were applied by the farmer. And we'll look at the annual system first. You can see this is from April 1st to October 15th. At the beginning of the year, the annual systems are losing carbon. The negative is a carbon loss to the atmosphere positive is carbon gain. I like NEP for that because carbon gain's positive, that's a good thing. So, the annual crops, beginning of the year, respiration is dominant. They're losing CO2 to the atmosphere. Once the canola and oats are planted, there is a bit of a delay as the plant matures, and then we see the annual crops change to swing back towards the oats. Don't quite reach carbon neutrality, but the canola does become a carbon sink for a short period of time, and then you can see where the canola is cut, and the field gradually declines back down towards carbon neutrality. The oats had a very poor year because of water stress, and it was a very windy year, and they were actually quite badly lodged, so the farmer wasn't able to cut the oats until mid-October. And I think that's reflected in some of the flux data. Something to note as well is that this is cumulative NEP, and it doesn't include the harvest removals yet, so you can keep in mind how that would be reflected and how it would affect this net NEP, the cumulative NEP, and where they would end up. So if we look at the perennial system, you can see early on in the year, before May, it begins to accumulate carbon. That the plants on that field are already present. They accumulate it more rapidly than the annual system up until when the hay is cut at the beginning of August. There's a slight dip as the plant recovers, and then they continue to fix carbon through the fall until the snow flies. So that gives us a bit of a demonstration of the differences between annual and perennial systems and how the carbon flux is affected by the management practice that applied. But what if we're to look at one site and how it varies year to year based on the weather impacts and perhaps extreme events that are going to affect how the crop's going to produce? So what I'll show you now is the hay field, the perennial pasture, from 2009 till this past summer as an example of some of the variability you can see just over 3 years at one site. So from top to bottom, it goes from 2009 to 2011. 2011 only goes till September 15th because of time constraints, but I think I was quite surprised to see the variability between these 3 years, and even though the hay swathing lines up, but I'll put this up here while I talk just to help show some of the reasoning that I think we're seeing the variability between this. 2009 and 2010 had much more similar summer precipitation, and I think that's reflected in the ability of the plant to uptake carbon more quickly, particularly in 2009. They had a similar mean summer temperature. While this past year we experienced quite a heavy drought, and while we did measure 151 millimeters of rain in that summer, most of it was concentrated into the first half of June. So after mid-June, there was very little rain through the rest of the summer and into October as well. The mean summer temperature is also considerably higher, and I don't think would be affected by the month's worth of data that we're missing at the end, because we did have record-breaking high temperatures at the beginning of October in southern Manitoba. So if you were to only look at 1 year of data from this site, you wouldn't be able to see this variability. And dependent on the weather that's occurring, how much rain it's getting, you're going to see, again, this is prior to harvest removals, a site that has almost 200 grams of carbon per meter squared in 2009 compared to being carbon neutral this past year in the drought. So some of the preliminary conclusions we've been able to draw from my project for 2010, when you account for harvest removals and small winter losses that are experienced, each of the sites is actually a carbon source, but the perennial site is much closer to carbon neutrality, being within, I believe, minus 50 grams of carbon per meter squared. So then if we look just at the 2011 data for all three sites, prior to harvest removals, we see that the perennial site 3 is at carbon neutral, most likely because of the drought experienced. The annual crop, site 1, which was oats this year, was a very poor crop, is a carbon source, and site 2 was left fallow because of moisture stress in the spring. The farmer wasn't able to get a crop in and has shown, considerable carbon loss. So something else we consider when looking at the data in southern Manitoba is that these are regular black chernozems. They have a very high carbon content, upwards of 8% at our sites. So they have a much greater potential to lose carbon when these conversions are done. So And as I mentioned, I think the year-to-year variability we were able to see at the perennial site highlights the need for these long-term studies to get a full picture of how climate is going to affect rotation and the plants that are present. Currently, our sites are still running, and I plan to do some more work to account for the harvest removals for all 3 years, as well as manure additions. Site one had manure placed on it in the fall, and this farmer also has a cattle herd, and all of the sites this year in particular had cattle on the field that one period to graze stubble or the hay, so I need to account for how that may have affected the carbon flux. And through this, I'll be able to calculate the annual carbon balances for each of the rotations and evaluate what uncertainties may be present in the balances because of the variability of practices applied. I just want to say thank you for coming to listen so early and for everybody who's helped make this possible, and I'd be glad to take any questions.
Thank you, Amanda. Any questions?
Mm-hmm. Well, because the hayfield's been established for more than 25 years, so there hasn't been, I don't recall the farmer mentioning that he's added any seed to the field, so there is some variability in the field, but it is predominantly Timothy hay. We did a plant species identification this year. I had help with someone in the audience. And there wasn't a huge dominance of weeds or anything like that. But I do want to look at the 2010 in particular because there isn't as large of a carbon uptake as the 2009 year. And I want to try and find why that difference would have been there because it's not such an obvious picture as the moisture deficiency. Does that help?
Yeah, your carbon balances are all based on the April to October.
Yes.
I assume you have data for the non-growing season as well.
We do for one of the years. We're determining how we're going to gap fill for this past winter because we had to bring some of the equipment in for servicing. We do have measurements from, 2009 to 2010, and we're going to be running through this winter as well. And generally, there's a small carbon loss experienced because our winters are quite cold, so there's no plant activity, just minor respiration.
So, do you have a sense of how much if that may change any of your basic conditions? Would it be enough to drive some?
It will contribute a bit to the losses, so that's something that would be included the net balance, that it would account for a small loss, but it's quite negligible when compared to the amount of effect that the plant and the harvest have on it. So.
Any more questions? I actually have a question.
Sure.
Well, how does the fact that you don't control management affect your study? I mean, as far as
in some ways, yeah.
Testing hypotheses that you wanted to test.
It is a bit more difficult. I mean, we don't affect when we plant. A lot of it's reactive to what he's doing. And that can present some difficulties, but in the same respect, I like it because it's a real system. It's not something we're rigorously controlling. It's what a farmer's really doing, and it's not just a cropping system. I consider it more of an integrated system because he's including cattle into it. And it does make it more reactive than something with a strict hypothesis, but in the same note, I think it presents a different picture. This is a quite remote site, so I do keep a record of whenever I go to the site, whenever I'm out driving an ATV on the land or things like that. We try to keep a record of any machineries on it so that we can see how that might influence the carbon flux or if I disrupt the instrumentation or something like that, but it is fairly remote. There's me and the cows out there. Anything else?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.